I want to know what B.A. is thinking about this amazing team and when he knew it was amazing. B.A., good afternoon.
That was really impressive, man. I feel like that's your demo reel for your next job. Are you preparing for another life?
No, I'm not retiring. They will retire me one day, but I'm not retiring. I got nothing else I want to do.
He's too entertaining, B.A.
No?
He will not be retiring.
It was very entertaining.
George Thompson, my partner at Marquette, says I can't retire because I don't have a real job. But that's not enough. All right, take us through this year with this team.
Okay. I don't have an answer to that question. I was funny. I was just asked this similar question yesterday on a St. Louis radio station. What I feel comfortable saying is that I thought the pitching staff was elite in spring training, even last year. I mean, I felt like this is a World Series contending type pitching staff. So I haven't budged from that stance. I think that's only been enhanced, and they've done such a great job adding to the bullpen even. So I still feel good about that. What surprised me was the offense. First, it surprised me how poor they were performing in the beginning of the year. And then it has surprised me how fast they've been able to correct all of that. I mean, there's this pretty impressive demarcation of June 26th that the Brewers have been one of the best offensive teams in baseball since June 26th, which is unrecognizable to what they look like in the first 6 weeks of the season or first 2 months of the season even. I'm a little all over the map with the offensive side of things, but I would say right now at this moment, getting ready for game two against the Cardinals, I think the Brewers can beat anybody in baseball. I think the Dodgers have the best talent top to bottom. I think the Brewers would not be afraid of a series with the Dodgers, and I think they're as good as anybody in the game.
Talking with Brian Anderson, actually, B, I wonder what I talk about is Adamas, because I feel like he's a twin brother. My whole life, people have said to me, are you ever going to shut up? And every time I see Willie Adamas, I think, he could be my twin brother. I've never witnessed him on TV where he wasn't doing something or talking to something at any point in any game. Is that close
to
accurate?
You can't fake that kind of joy and that kind of enthusiasm for life. Even this is way beyond just, you know, being a sportsman or an athlete. It's just how he lives his life, not just when he's on the field, but he does have this kind of presence and joy, and he cares about what people think. You can't really engage people in conversation like he does if you're not truly authentically interested in those other people. And I had the pleasure of watching Adamas last year from afar. I had no field access, but there were Zoom calls and whatnot. But I was in the bubble covering the American League postseason last year, and of course he was performing for the Tampa Bay Rays, and he actually wasn't playing well. And that's what impressed me the most is how great he was, even though he wasn't hitting and felt like he wasn't contributing to the Rays at that time. But yet he was the first guy out for home runs. He was, remember, Randy Arozarena had this incredible postseason run last year for Tampa Bay, and Willie Adamas was the guy right by his side cheering him on. And there are a lot of, you know, talented people out there that maybe would feel a little threatened by that, about this rookie getting the spotlight and having these moments. But Adamas was just the opposite. That's what impressed me the most. In the downtimes on the field when he was not performing well, he was still the biggest cheerleader. He was still the most important defensive piece at shortstop. So he was contributing to the game in so many other areas and bringing this fire and this life and this joy every day. And I think he was a big part of why the Rays went to the World Series last year.
B.A., I got to ask you about another guy. And how surprised are you that the Brewers are where they are and the things you just said about them without Yelich being Yelich, being the Yelich that everybody remembers and knows? How surprised are you of that? That the Brewers are where they are?
It is surprising because he's the centerpiece of the offense. He's kind of who they built around. You know, every piece that's been added has been with the notion of he fits here because Yelich is here. And so Christian has really struggled. And, you know, I don't know what to say about Yelich other than I don't feel like he's healthy. So I don't know that. You know, I don't have access to the field like I used to, and, you know, we're not having conversations. I haven't even spoken to Christian at all this year other than being on the Zoom calls with him that, you know, all the other media is involved in. So I can't really speak to, you know, what he's going through, but he does not look the same. He's not the same player. Not to say he can't be back to that level again, but it is surprising. I think the first 2 months of the season was a direct result of the injuries, Yelich being on and off the IL, the lack of production from Keston Hira. These were the two centerpieces of your offense, the two and three hitters to start the year. So I think that was a residual of those two not being in that, you know, prominent position. At the same time, it is very surprising that they've been able to flip it so fast and reinvent themselves as an offense. And, you know, Rowdy Tellez has been a huge impact player. Jace Peterson has been a huge impact player. And these are guys that are what we call in the business quadruple A, you know, guys that are bouncing between triple A and the big leagues. And yet whatever they have developed here, the culture they developed, the friendly clubhouse environment where guys can come in and feel comfortable and feel part of it and feel like they can succeed, which I think is a real thing and something they cultivate, it works. And so you're getting guys who are considered up and down guys or quadruple A players that are having major roles and major impact, having a major impact on the big league club. So then you add a piece like Escobar, obviously Adames, we've already talked about, and Urias. You know, here's a guy that got taken out of his job, and yet he's flourished in the role he's in. So I think all that speaks to this family atmosphere, this culture-building atmosphere. Everybody is part of it. And so, yes, it is surprising that they're getting the result they're getting without Yelich being what he is. At the same time, I think that's kind of the way the Brewers have set up their organization now in the David Stearns, Craig Counsell era.
And even I got to give a little credit to Yelly, though, even though he's missing the power, right? We're not seeing the big home runs from him, but he's still being somewhat productive, right? And
he's contributing to wins for sure. He's not the player. He's not the MVP. He's not a frontline player right now. He's not. I mean, that's just the way it is. But he's very fast. He's an excellent defender. He draws a lot of walks. He leads the team in walks. So he does move the line offensively. He's on base a lot. And he's a great leader, you know, and he's a good guy, and he's a good teammate. So I think all that kind of plays in. Yes, the Brewers could probably get to another level if he could get back to an MVP level. I'm just not confident that can happen, but
yeah, that's what I was going to kind of ask you. Is it a thing where, because I know in basketball, I mean, you know, a player like that, I mean, he's one or two shots away from getting back on track. Is he just like a couple hits where it could do something and they could be off on a tear towards the end of the season?
No, I don't see that. I mean, I think basketball is, you know, again, like I think you introduced the injury idea to this, and that's kind of at least what I believe. I'm not saying like he needs to go on the injured list. I just think he's not fully 100% healthy like he was in 18 and 19. And I think he's trying to learn what the new Christian Yelich can be, at least this year, try to get his body healthy in the offseason. This is all my opinion, all my speculation, but he doesn't look healthy to me. He doesn't look stacked. He doesn't look like somebody who can hit the ball into the opposite field bleachers anymore. Like, you know, that was something that separated him from the others. He's a good player and he contributes to winning, but he's not that guy that's going to, you know, take over. I don't think he's a guy that other pitching staffs pitch around or work around. I think they maybe work towards him and are not necessarily so fearful of him, but that can change. I would love to see it. Can certainly change next year, but you know, I think this year is a survival year for Yelich. I mean, he was twice on the injured list with the back injury. It appears to be something that's chronic that he's going to have maintenance on throughout his career. He was on the COVID IL. I don't know what kind of effects that's had on anybody. So I think it is what it is right now. I don't mean to pour water on everybody, but I think that's just what he is right now, and that's okay. I think he can contribute to a World Series winning ball club in this exact form.
Talking with Brian Anderson, I'm great that the Hall of Famer Tony Smith brought up basketball because you're not Mike Breen, the voice of the NBA Finals, but you're pretty damn close.
Bang.
I want to know just your thoughts of Giannis, the Bucks, because you have a different perspective, not only living here, but being and having access and talking NBA basketball with so many of those big, important teams. Were they surprised? Did they never buy it until it happened? Or tell us, the Bucks and Giannis, Brian Anderson, not Mike Breen, but damn close.
Well, I played a lot of golf with Mike Breen during this run, and we had a lot of conversations about you. So, you know, maybe you guys need to repair your relationship. Maybe that's why you're kissing up on such a level right now. But, no, I'm so happy for Milwaukee, and I love the fact that not only did they win the championship, but, you know, I've got a guy that I've known forever and respect a lot, Mike Budenholzer. I thought it was ridiculous that his job was even being questioned. I know him. I've seen him in action.
Now, you knew him in San Antonio. People wouldn't know the connection. Tell them what it was.
I've known Mike Budenholzer since he was the video guy with the Spurs, when I was a cameraman, before I was even an announcer and he was even a coach. We go way back, and I just, you know, in my years with the Spurs as a sideline reporter, he was one of Pop's assistants, and he always ran practice, and he ran the scout team, and I've been very impressed by him forever and continue to be impressed by him. So I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the city. You've got a great superstar that did it the right way and kind of did it in an unorthodox fashion in Giannis. And so it's all good, man. It's all good vibes, all good feel, and I love the fact that the Bucks are so connected with the Packers and the Brewers, and they're, you know, for years, Homer, you've been in this market for years, there's always that little bit of tinge of animosity between the pro sports teams, yep, which I never could understand, and that doesn't exist anymore. I think everybody's great with everybody, and we, you know, the Brewers players are filling up the suites at Fiserv, and Bucks players are coming out to American Family Field, and so I love that for the sports fans here, and I hope Milwaukee is going to be a championship city, you know, for a long time, because having an NBA title in this town means a lot, and you obviously saw what it means to the fans and the way the Deer District showed up and, you know, talking to Mike Breen about the fan base here and the Deer District and what it means and just connecting, you know, just the summer in Milwaukee to that whole thing. I thought they did a beautiful job on ABC and ESPN covering that, and I was glad it showed up so well on television.
All right, I got a couple questions I shouldn't ask because I do them on the show and just think they're true, and if I ask you, you might prove me wrong. Vogelback, I always referred to as Tommy Boy and always wanted to ask him if he ever lived in a van down by the river. Do you think he would be bothered by that question?
I don't think so, but again, I haven't had access the last 2 years like I normally would, so I've met him. We've had a few chats. I don't know him that well. Okay. That's one of the unfortunate parts of the business right now in the COVID times.
I believe Craig Counsell, as long as David Stearns is the GM, has a job as manager for life.
I would agree with that, and I'd also say the opposite is true. I think they're both in very powerful positions, let's put it that way. And remember, Craig Counsell was already the manager when David Stearns was hired.
That's right.
I think people lose sight of that. So the connection between owner, GM, or president, in this case, David Stearns, GM Matt Arnold, I will even add that, and Craig Counsell. So that connection, that bond between those three or four, is really important, and it's really impressive. And it's the same reason why, back to the Mike Budenholzer situation, the connection between Bucks ownership, general manager John Horst, and Mike Budenholzer is extremely powerful and strong, and that's how the Spurs built their championship dynasty, by that dynamic. Back then it was Peter Holt, or before him, Red McCombs, and then it was Pop, and then it was R.C. Buford as GM. That group was tight, and, you know, players feel that there was respect there, and I think the same thing is applying both to the basketball team and the baseball team here. I hope it applies to the football team, too, but I'm not sure we're quite there yet with the Packers.
And lastly, you alluded to it at the beginning, if people were listening, that the Brewers have built a playoff team with great pitching. This is the kind of team that can win a world championship.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Wow.
Homer's just happy you're going to win a division.
Yeah.
He's got a big bet on the BA.
I made some coin bet. I took him 4-1 to win the division. I got 4-1 odds. I got $1,300 coming, BA, if the Brewers win the division.
Yeah, that's nothing for you, though. That's just like, like a half-hour commercial
that's
you.
That's four cars, I think, for him.
Yes, it is. Clearly, you've confused me with the Hall of Famer Tony Smith. And lastly, I can't imagine. It's just got to be a blast doing these games for the Brewers. How good they are, the pitching and everything. Winning is so much fun. What's been the best part?
Well, it is a blast. It's awesome. You feel great for the city. You feel great for what they've been able to accomplish. I think the best part is kind of what I alluded to earlier. But this team, you know, they're winning and it's easier that way. But even when they're not winning, even when they were struggling, they do have this element of joy they play with, and I like that. I mean, I think the game should be fun. I think kids are really attracted to players.
And they had that before
kind of
Adames? He did. Maybe I give him too much credit then. You called him MVP on one game, and I thought, yeah, he's the team MVP, and I don't know if his numbers are good enough in the league. But so it existed even before he came.
I thought it did on some levels, but the guy who it existed through was Lorenzo Cain, who was injured.
Oh.
Guys through Colton Wong, who was injured. So, you know, you weren't really feeling that. I think Avi Garcia plays with great joy. I think Manny Pena plays with great joy. I think there are a lot of guys that do, but now they're all in it together and they're winning, and I love that. That's what's been fun. It's been a little tampered because we're not traveling with a team, and, you know, that sitting in an empty stadium calling a game off monitors is not the best or not the easiest. I understand why we're doing it. I don't begrudge the network for doing it that way. But, you know, we miss – in my world, and you've lived this world with Marquette, but in my world, I enjoy getting to know these guys and just kind of trying to find out what makes them tick on a personal level so I can bring that to an audience. And that's a huge slice of the pie, at least in my preparation and my delivery – that is missing right now. So that's the only thing that's regrettable during this moment. But watching the team has been a blast.
Thanks for the time. This has been awesome. And
he mentioned Marquette. I just want to get his thoughts on Shaka.
Everybody likes Shaka. Come on.
Love Shaka. Yeah,
do you know Shaka?
I've known Shaka forever, and I've covered him, obviously, doing the NCAA tournament back from his VCU days. And you know, when he'd bring all the props out, and I remember he brought the I wonder if he'll do that this year, but he used to bring out the like the electric panel, you know, and he'd had everybody's names on it, like all of his players. And I remember the one guy had the neon green light, you know, it's like it's not a green light, it's a neon green light. He flipped that switch, and like I love that stuff. It was great theater for us, for television, but I'm a huge fan of Shaka Smart. I think Texas was, you know, not the greatest fit for him, but he, you know, he had moderate success there and great recruiting classes. But Marquette is just the perfect place for him. He, the kind of players he can recruit, the kind of style of play he wants to have, this, you know, the booster situation in Austin, because I'm from there. I know that program very well, and it can be a lot for a coach and a program to deal with. I think everybody's pulling on the same chain here, and not to be too cryptic, but I think this is a perfect spot for Shaka, and I'm a huge fan of his, and I cannot wait for him to cut loose.
Let's go, Marquette.
I think they're going to be great. I think they're going to be really good for a lot of years here, and I think Shaka is going to be a big part of it.
Thanks again for the time. Hope we can do it again.
All right, guys. Talk to you later. Hit him straight out there.
Yes, sir.
Brian Anderson, TV voice of the Brewers. I'd say the voice of the Brewers, but then he says, no, Bob Uecker is the voice of the Brewers, so
he's the voice of everything.
He is the voice of everything. Brian Anderson is everywhere. We didn't even ask about the match. Next.
He asked about golf, everything. Yep.